story. Some of you may remember just a couple of years ago, they had the big Gatlinburg fires. Burned that church, that fellowship hall, the old church, the new church, right down to the ground. We haven't been back since then, so I don't know what happened, but I know Becky and I drove by there. We were going to say, you know, just take a look where the fires had gone. And, it burned the whole thing right to the ground. I was like, this is not possible. So I don't know how that story ends, but if I go to Gatlinburg next year, I'll be sure to let you know. You've got your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me make a couple of disclaimers before I preach tonight, okay, about this message. Number one, I want to say that, I'll say this, I'm talking about spiritual gifts. And one thing I want to make sure you understand at first is that I don't completely understand every detail about spiritual gifts. There's a lot of things I do understand, a lot of things I'm not going to go into, but we'll talk about most of them anyway. There's a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a couple of verses in Romans chapter 12, that I kind of struggle with. I can go, you ever have those verses where you think, well, I think it means this, and then somebody else says something, and you go, it could mean that. I could see that too. And sometimes I have a trouble trying to settle my mind. I've been in the ministry probably 43, 44 years, and I still don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. I know that's shocking, but I don't. I still have to sometimes debate with myself, pray a lot about it, do some extra study. So I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you I know everything about this chapter, but I'm going to tell you some things that are true about this chapter, maybe help you out a little bit. When I talk about spiritual gifts, I've listed on the back of the sheet. We won't take time to read the back, by the way, but I've listed on the back of this sheet a list of what I call the spiritual gifts. Now, I will say this. Some lists you'll see will be much longer than this. Some lists you'll see will be shorter than this. This is my list. Okay? And then I've defined them, and those are my definitions according to what I see from the Scripture. So if you want to look through those sometime, I'll know if the sermon, by the way, is getting boring because you'll be reading the last page. So don't do that. But if you want to look at those sometime, I'm not talking about what the gifts are. I want to just make some comments about spiritual gifts. So my list will contain some gifts that some people won't have. My list will miss some gifts that some people do have. You know, you might see on another list, you'll notice on my list the gift of hospitality, the gift of evangelism. Some people say the gift of celibacy is a spiritual gift. I'm not sure on those three. I would say probably, but I would not say definitely. So I only included on my list what I would say definitely. Then there would be another list that I would think of more as callings, not gifts. Pastors, evangelists, teachers, not the gift of teaching, but to be a teacher, to be a prophet, to be a pastor. Those are more callings in my mind. Now, we can debate all that later on if you want to debate that. That's not what the message is about. What I want to talk to you about is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12, what these gifts are for and what these gifts do and don't do. Now, let me tell you why I'm doing that. Probably like most of you, if you've got good sense at all, you are excited about the new building. Amen? If you're a member of this church and you're not excited about what's going on, when they start pouring foundations and putting steel rods in the ground and delivering steel beams, I'm getting excited. I mean, we're getting to the point where you'll drive by there in a few weeks and you'll see a frame up. And then eventually there'll be concrete floors, and then there'll be walls, and then there'll be a roof. And I'm excited about that, but I will say it this way. I'm nervously excited. Not just for the financial end, by the way. God's provided in great ways for us. It's just amazing how God has continually provided by our people and just by His own supernatural ways. And so I'm not that scared about the finances. I'm a little nervous about the church. You say, well, what do you mean? What are you nervous about the church? We've got Pastor Monty. We've got five pastors on staff, and we've got plenty of help. No, I don't think we do. I think the whole concept, you guys understand, I hope you've got this. Pastors mentioned it. I've heard Pastor Wall say it several times. We're not building a new facility so you'll be more comfortable. That's not the idea, okay? We're not building a new facility so we'll have a nicer place. We're building a new facility because on Sunday morning, we don't have enough room in here and we don't have enough parking out there. And it's wiser to try to continue to renovate this. That's getting to be the point, as you can see with the lights, it's beginning to get more and more expensive. And so we're building a new facility so we can continue to grow. Amen? so we can continue to reach more of Hendricks County for Christ, more of the state of Indiana, more of the United States, more literally of the world. So our church can continue to expand its ministry, its ability to reach people for Christ, and its ability to disciple people for Christ. Amen or oh me? You do understand that, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be upset with the fact that, you know, I get a new office. Y'all, you've noticed the size of our offices, right? If you're counseling with me, you can't get very far from me. I mean, you are literally right there when I'm counseling you. And so, and that's fine. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about a bigger auditorium, possibility of having a gymnasium. I still like to shoot a little basketball every now and then. I'm excited about that. But that's not the point. The point is, if we're going to have a bigger ministry, we're going to have more people ministering. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to assault you tonight, but I'm going to say what I think, and I normally do, so it's the way it comes out. I think we have a lot of people in our church, even now, that are gifted people that have served and could serve, but aren't serving. And I'm going to tell you what I think about that in a little bit. And that sounded bad when I said that. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. That's not what I said. But I want to tell you 10 things that I see from this chapter, these two chapters, about spiritual gifts. So if you're looking at your notes, we're just going to go through those 10 things. Take about half hour, 45 minutes until I'm done. And I think it'll help you a little bit. Number one, let me say this. Spiritual gifts are different from the fruits of the Spirit and or what you would call biblical virtues. That's two different things, okay? So I want you to differentiate that in your mind. Spiritual gifts are different from fruits of the Spirit. Think of it this way. I think I put this on your notes. The gift of the Spirits have to do with service. That is, what you do, okay? The fruit of the Spirit has to do with character. That is, how you do it. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? So The gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts that we're going to talk about, those spiritual gifts, the ones that are listed on the back of your thing, whether it's service, whether it's teaching, exhortation, giving, administration, faith, all those gifts, those are avenues where you're specifically gifted for a purpose to do something in the church. Fruits of the Spirit are the spirit or the attitude, the way of thinking, the way that you do those things with kindness, with love, with charity, with long-suffering, with patience. You understand? Is that clear to everybody? Everybody understand what I'm saying? So I want you to kind of get that in your mind. Every Christian, by the way, may not have the gift of administration. But every Christian should be living joyful, a peaceful life. Every Christian should be kind. Every Christian should be benevolent. Every Christian should be long-suffering. Those things should be present, and nobody is exempt from those things. Are you with me? Some of you could be teachers, but you may not have the gift of teaching. That is, you're not exceptionally gifted in that area. That doesn't mean you can't teach, by the way. It just means somebody who is gifted in that area is going to be exceptionally well. You with me? Everybody still with me so far? So let me give you a definition. I think I put it on your paper. Here's the definition. When I talk about spiritual gifts, here's what I'm saying. Spiritual gifts are either, you could kind of shorten it real, either natural or supernatural. They can be one or the other. Spiritual gifts are either supernatural abilities that God has bestowed on an individual or individuals, or God-given natural abilities. Now, you'll have natural abilities, but there'll be certain natural abilities that God gives specifically to a person that will function through the direction of the Holy Spirit to benefit the church. I don't think I put that last part on your list, but that's on my list, okay? To benefit the church. So, everybody with me now? You still with me? Because if you don't get the definition, we're going to struggle a little bit. So, when I'm talking about spiritual gifts, when Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, that's what we're talking about. When I'm talking about those gifts, I'm talking about either supernatural abilities that God gives an individual or natural abilities that are well enhanced by God used through the power of the Holy Spirit to edify, to build up the church. Okay, you still with me? Everybody, you agree with that definition? I'm preaching, you're going to. Okay, so now, gifts such as miracles, tongues, healing, prophecy, that would fall into that supernatural origin. Would you not agree? Would you not think it's supernatural if somebody in the auditorium tonight had a heart attack, fell on the floor, paramedics came in, said, no, he's dead, he's been dead for me, and I walked up and said, no, he's no longer dead, and I touched him and he got up and walked out. How many of you think that was natural? Nobody's raising their hand. No, that would be really supernatural. That's something that we don't see. Now, it would not, hopefully it would not be surprising to you if you listened to the message tonight, and after the message you said, boy, that was good, we learned something, and somebody said, Brother Morris, he's got the gift of teaching. I'm not saying I do. Would that be a natural? That might be a natural gift enhanced by the work of the Holy Spirit to edify the church. Okay? You see the two categories? You still with me? Great. That was easy. Okay. Now, let me say a couple other things before I move on to number two. Number one, we all will show some of those abilities, some of those talents at some time. That's not what I'm talking about. Even somebody without the gift of teaching may teach a lesson. It may be wonderful, right? That doesn't necessarily mean to have that gift. Somebody who has the gift of giving or the gift of helps may be helpful at some time, but that doesn't mean they necessarily have that spiritual gift. In other words, some of those things we all are going to do at one point or another. By the way, if as at later on you determine or somebody determines for you that you don't think I have that spiritual gift, that does not exempt you from service. I'll tell you why in a minute. When I was a teenager, our pastor, I remember our youth pastor preached a message on spiritual gifts, and he included in that message the gift of evangelism, the special ability, not just to lead somebody to Christ, but a special ability in doing so. Somebody who had a great memory, somebody who could use the scriptures in such a way, was highly used by the Holy Spirit to be convicting in what they say, and every word seemed to be directed from God. And so he said that was the gift of evangelism, and I'm not arguing whether it is or not tonight, but he made, I remember he preached that message, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to be a good witness. And I was dating a girl in our home church, and long story short, I came over to her house one. We talked about this with her and I, and I told her what I was wanting to do, and she said, well, I don't think I have that gift. I really don't. And I said, well, I think she was just shy and she didn't want to talk. And I remember coming over to her house one night. I had a little motorcycle, and I rode my little motorcycle over to her house, and she was sitting on the front porch with another guy. Don't like that kind of stuff, by the way. And so I kind of, you know, walked up, burped the thing up. He left. We got to talking, and I said, what's going on? She said, I was witnessing to him. I think maybe I have the gift of evangelism. By the way, I didn't buy that. But you get the idea. We all may show some aspects that seem like those gifts. That does not necessarily, just because you can, just because you're a good organizer doesn't mean you have the gift of administration. Okay? So we'll talk about that. Everybody still with me on number one? Okay, number two. Let me move on to number two. Some spiritual gifts, and this is what I believe in, and I'm going to preach and teach. Some spiritual gifts were given to the apostles during the early church. Now, there was a purpose. I'll usually call those sign gifts. They were sign gifts that were given to mark the apostles as genuine messengers of God. Now, I'm not going to argue the point on this. Let me just read some scriptures. If you got your Bible, flip back to the book of Acts. I'm going to read three scriptures. I'll let you draw your own conclusion whether I'm accurate by what you see in the scripture. I'm not going to influence you. I'm not going to tell you what I think these scriptures mean. But I think this supports what I'm saying. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And you'll see in chapter 14, verse 1, as the apostles are preaching and teaching, there's a great multitude of Jews and Gentiles that believe. The unbelieving Jews get upset about that, try to stir them up. Now, I want you to look what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, long time therefore abode they, the apostles, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. What was the purpose in that? Read the chapter for yourself. I'm not going to comment. I'll let you make your own decision. Look at 2 Corinthians. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Let me show you another verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want you to look at verse 12. Paul's talking about his apostleship in this chapter. He's talking about he's become a fool in glory, and he goes on in verse 12, and he says this. Verse 12, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. By the way, if you don't think there's certain signs for the apostles, I don't know what you're going to do with that verse. Right? Look at the book of Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to look at verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Again, I believe Paul said this. I believe the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write the book of Hebrews. You don't have to agree with me on that, but that's my theory. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness. Who's he talking about? Those who brought the message, the apostles. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So, when you look at number 2, when I say spiritual gifts were given to the apostles during the early church, that those were sign gifts. Those were sign gifts to seal the fact that these men were sent from God. The message that they were proclaiming about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he indeed was the Messiah that they were waiting on. The evidence of that, the truth of that preaching was in those gifts. That was the evidence that these men were endowed of God to give that message. And I believe that. The primary purpose of those sign gifts was to prove that the gospel was true and the apostles were indeed God's messengers. Now, I would put in that list, by the way, I believe that those gifts died out with two things. Number one, the death of the apostles, and number two, the completion of the New Testament. Once you have the completed word of God, you can understand the truth fairly easily. I mean, if you're paying any attention at all, the gospel is so clear in the New Testament. It may not be clear in the Old Testament, but it is extremely clear in the New Testament. Amen? And so I believe that those gifts passed away with that. And that would be what I would call direct biblical revelation, which I would include in some definitions prophecy and knowledge, although I've defined that a little different on the other thing. Tongues, the interpretation of tongues, supernatural healing such as raising the dead. Those gifts, I do not believe, are in play today because we have a completed gospel message. We understand by the unity of the Scripture, by the testimony of those apostles, that this is indeed the Word of God. Amen? Okay, and we no longer need those gifts to prove that this is God's word. You know how you judge what I'm saying today? Not by the signs and miracles I give. By what? By my accordance, how well I stay in this book. If I disagree with this book, I'm disagreeing with God. I am not God's messenger anymore. Right? God's messenger must agree with God's message. That makes good sense. So number one and number two, fairly simple. You should understand that. All right, Number three, I think you also know this. God, if you hadn't already filled that blank in, I don't know what else you were going to put in there. God is the giver of those gifts. He's given to each believer, I believe, at least one spiritual gift. If you're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says this, but all these worketh that one all in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, it's God who gives it. It's his will. But I want you to notice that one little phrase, dividing to how many people? Every man. You'll also notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, every man hath his proper gift. Now, do I believe that there are men or women who have more than one gift? Yes, I really believe that. Do I believe that there are some who have less than one gift? No. I believe if you're a saved, born-again Christian, and you're a member of this church, you have a gift that you need to exercise in this church, in the ministry of this church, for the benefit of the rest of the members of this church. And we'll go out and we'll continue to prove that in just a minute. Okay? In fact, I actually think when Matthew, chapter 25, when Matthew's talking about the talents, right? God gave some 5 talents, some gave 3 talents, some gave 2 talents, some gave 1 talent. When he talks about that, that is a direct illustration of how God gives out those gifts. Some get 5, and I hate those guys. I got like 1 that I know of. Pastor Monty's got like 16. Irritates me a little bit. It doesn't bother you when he teaches so well and he preaches so well. And if you've ever talked to him about anything theologically, he'll blow you out of the water. And that was bad enough. I remember my first year I was here about 13, 14 years ago, and I was kind of setting things up in my office, and I heard the polka. Yeah, the polka coming out of the auditorium. I was like, what in the world? So I came jogging down the hallway. Pastor's on the organ. Dun, 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 dun. And just playing the organ. And I'm like, you play the organ? Yeah, I never took any lessons. It's just by ear. Of course it is. I hate you. And then it wasn't long after that, you know, we didn't have somebody singing a special Sunday night. And of course, I'll sing the special, Pastor Monty said. And I was like, of course you will. You know, it's just like, Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? There's some people that have an abundance of spiritual gifts. And I think it's wonderful that our pastor is one of those people. We have at least four more spiritual gifts in our staff. You'll figure that out later. let me say this. If you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, you have a spiritual gift. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll tell you how to figure that out later. But you have a spiritual gift. And if you do, and you do, you should be serving in some area of our church. And as this church continues to grow, and if we move to another building and we can seat 800 and we're seating 100, 200 on Wednesday night, that's going to look weird. Right? I want to fill the place up. I'm not going to lie to you. I want Hendricks County to go, wow, there is a new church and they are really doing something. That will not happen. You listen to me. That will not happen if the people in this church are not ministering to the needs of the others in this church and outside of this church. If you're not using the spiritual gifts you have, do not expect this church to grow. It will flop along, and the five men that are on staff will do the best they can, but we cannot reach the world for Christ, the five of us. We need your help. That's why I'm preaching this message. I want you to wake up and get busy. Number four. Is that where I'm at? Number four? Number four. An unsaved man may have abilities and natural talents that are similar to these gifts. I mean, there are unsaved people who have who are good leaders. Would you agree with that? Who are good administrators. They're unsaved people who are very helpful people, and they can help you in a lot of areas. And you may think that they have the gift of helps. They do not, because the gift of helps, even if a person is extremely helpful, is only through the power of the Holy Spirit for the edification of the church. Make sure you understand that truth, okay? That's the point behind it. If he does have that gift, by the way, if an unsaved man has that gift, just understand he's working his own power, and he's typically using that for his own glory or his own good. Doesn't mean he doesn't ever help anybody else. But that's what it is. In fact, there's a good example. I put down in your notes. There's a good example of that. Some of you remember the story of Simon the Sorcerer? Remember that guy? Acts chapter 8. If you remember, I think it's verse 10. I looked it up today. Verse 10, there was this. Before he was saved, before he made a profession, we can argue whether or not he was saved later. But before he made a profession, you know what the people said about him? They said, this man is the great power of God, because he was a great orator. Was he the great power of God? No. He just was a great speaker. He had the ability to talk spiritually about a lot of things. That does not necessarily translate into that man is telling you the truth. There are a lot of guys on TV today that, number one, I don't even believe they're saved, some of the things they say. And number two, they deceive a lot of people because they're great orators. They're like Simon the Sorcerer. And even after Simon made his profession or got saved, even after that happened, you remember what he wanted to do? He tried to buy the gifts. He's like, wow, you guys can heal the dead. Tell me how I can do that and I'll pay you. What was the motivation behind that? To meet others' needs? No, that's a selfish concept. So when you look at this list again, when you flip it over, you look at the back there and you see somebody who's a good teacher or somebody who's good at giving or somebody who's good at mercy, has a big merciful heart, that does not necessarily mean that they have that spiritual gift. Again, when I say the spirit of mercy, I'm talking about somebody who has a great compassion for others that's inspired, that's motivated, and from a conviction of the Holy Spirit to reach the lost for Christ. They have that compelling desire for that. Not that they just... There are a lot of people in the Democratic Party who have the gift of mercy, not the spiritual gift. But they want to help everybody. They want to give them free college, and they want to give them free health care, and they want to give them free drugs, and they want to give them free entrance into the country, and they do that because why? They think that that's the best thing to do. They're mistaken, by the way. I don't know what that country looks like when that's finished. Scares you a little bit? Some of you saw the debate? That should scare you just a hair bit. Because our country... Anyway, I started into old Pastor Monty-ism there, didn't I? Okay, but you get the idea. Okay, so everybody understand where I'm at so far? 1, 2, 3, 4. Pretty easy, right? Number 5. The Apostle Paul also indicated, you may disagree with me on this one, but that's okay. The Apostle Paul also indicated that the spiritual gifts are equally valid, V-A-L-I-D, valid. The spiritual gifts are equally valid, but not equally valuable. Hang on a second, write it down, I'll explain. Some of you didn't even write, you just look right up. What did you just say? Okay, hang on, give me a second. I'll see if I can help you here. In fact, if you look, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at the last verse, verse 31. Paul makes a statement, but covet earnestly what kind of gifts? Do I guess? So, wait a minute. So, some gifts are better than others? Yes or no? Yes, of course they are. Okay, and then chapter 14, look at chapter 14 and look at verse 1. Chapter 12, 13, and 14, I'll talk about this. Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather, those are gifts, but what's a better gift? Prophecy, the teaching and preaching of God's word, that the proclaiming of that truth, that's better, right? That's a better gift. In fact, you can go to, let's see, I'm completely blank. Yeah, you can go is it Romans chapter 12? No. I just went completely blank. Where we talk about that's this chapter. It's right in the middle of the chapter. Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul gives us an example about the body, right? Okay, before you read the example about the body, let me ask you a question. Now, look at me. This is a trick question. Make sure you hear all the words. Is the pinky less valuable than the eye? How many of you say the pinky is less valuable than the eye? Okay. Now, those of you raise your hand. How many of you that raise your hand will say, but the pinky is not valuable? Oh, no, the pinky's valuable, and it helps in the whole, but if you had to lose your pinky or your eye, I'd really be worried about you if you said, I'll lose my eye. No, this is gone, right? I'd rather have my eye. Doesn't mean that the pinky is not valid, is not a part of the body. It's just not as important. There are some things that are more important, that are more valid, that are more valuable in the church that we need. If you do not have a preacher, if you do not have somebody prophesying, proclaiming the truth of God's word, it doesn't matter how many servants you have, right? Doesn't matter how many people are ministering, doesn't matter how many people are helping, doesn't matter how many people are giving. If the truth is not being preached, you have a problem. Right? But let me say this on the other hand. If you have a great preacher and nobody else is doing anything, you also have a problem. All are valid. Some may be more valuable. And that's okay. Right? Are you still with me now? Some of you, I think I lost some. Let me say it this way. See if this helps you. Okay, you can jot this down on your paper, won't you? Greater gifts, greater service. Right? Greater gifts are going to demand greater service. You expect our pastor, you expect us as pastors to be full-time in the ministry, right? Why is that? Because God's given us a different calling and greater gifts. And we should be using those to the fullest, right? That doesn't mean you don't have any gifts, because let me say it another way. So greater gifts, greater service. How about this? More gifts, more service. If you have four gifts and you're using one of them, that's not biblical. God didn't give you four gifts to use one, the primary one, the one you're the best at. No, he gave you four gifts to use four gifts. Well, I can do this and I can do this, but I'm going to just center on this because this is easier for me. No, you've been given a gift. You should be finding a way to use it, right? Okay, so all the gifts of the Holy Spirit working together are needed to produce the full potential of the church, right? If this church is going to be what it should be, all the gifts are valid. Some may be more valuable than the other, but they all have value, and we need every single one of them. Right? So we need Riley's gift, right? We need Rod's gift. I'm going to do that. Everybody's looking, waiting for me to say your name. But we need every gift that's in the building. If we're really going to succeed in building that building and really doing what it's there for, that is filling it up, reaching people for Christ, building a ministry that reaches not just our neighborhood, not just Hendricks County, not just Indiana, but literally reaches around the world, the only way that's going to happen is if the people in this church start using the gifts that they're given in a ministry sort of way through the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Amen? Okay, I want you to understand that. So here's number six. By the way, one last statement on that one. You can take the time to read it for yourself. Read chapter 12, but you're going to get this also out of chapter 12. It's not in my notes, but when we talk about a valuable gift, we're not talking about a more valuable person. You with me? There's nobody in this church is more valuable to God than anybody else in this church. Pastor on down to janitor, it doesn't matter. Right? You understand? When I'm talking about valuable gifts, I'm not talking about valuable people. Okay, that's not the way God looks at it. Number six, okay? So that doesn't mean, now let me take the other side of that same coin. That doesn't mean, however, that gifts should be used to exalt the individual or feed an immature Christian. I left out the word. Desire for attention. Now, some people will realize they have a spiritual gift and they will make that spiritual gift all about who? Yeah, look at me. Look what I can do. Listen, if that's given to you by God, that's not what it was there for. I cannot say to the pinky, I don't need the pinky. Some of you remember a few months ago, I cut my finger really bad, had to have a bunch of stitches put in it. And let me tell you something. You don't think you need, I'm a right-handed man. I don't need my left hand most of the time. I used to say all the time in sports, my left hand is for one reason. It's to pick up things and put it in my right hand. That's all I got a left hand for. And that's somewhat true. My left hand is... But you cut your finger, your index finger on your left hand, you know what you realize really quick? How much you use your index finger on your left hand. You ever tried to use a Q-tip in your ear on this side without an index finger? Go home and give that a shot one time. This does not work. You're going to hurt yourself. Can't do it, you know. And there's just so many. You ever try to button a shirt without your left? And you use these fingers to button your shirt, right? This is a little more difficult. Okay, I can do it. I've learned to do it, but it's not that easy. And these little buttons right here are real boogers. Okay, really tough to deal with. But that's the point. Every part is valuable. One part doesn't get to say it's more valuable than the other. In fact, I think I put this in your notes. In fact, pride in your gifts will diminish. I believe they diminish the effectiveness. In fact, you say, how do you know that? Well, it has to be true. If these gifts are administered through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and you're exalted in pride through them, you'll null the Spirit. Then it's not the Spirit anymore. Who's doing it? You're doing it. Okay, and that's not right. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, here's what Paul said. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, the gifts are not about, listen, look this way. The gifts, those spiritual gifts, are not about exalting him. They're about exalting him. You with me? So make sure that there's a balance. Yes, some gifts are more valuable. The person's not more valuable, but the gifts are more valuable and highly needed. But whatever gift you have, we need you. But if my gift seems to lift me up and puts me in front of people and I get to be the guy preaching and I get to be the guy everybody pats on the back and says, good job, and you get to be the guy who takes the trash out after the fellowship and does all that little ministry stuff and nobody says anything, let me tell you something, God's just as pleased with what you did as with what I did. And if I lord myself over you and say, well, you know, I'm glad they're here. We need people like them to help. We need somebody to change those diapers in the nursery. We do. I don't want to do it. I had two kids. I have eight grandkids, and fortunately, I don't have to do that very often because I got seven of them are girls, and the girls take care of the girls. Have a bunch of boys, you get stuck babysitting, guess what's happening? You're taking care of that. So anyway, but you get the idea, right? Everybody still with me? All right, number seven. Spiritual gifts must be used. Now, you've got to get this one. Spiritual gifts must be used in love. How many of you think it's interesting? Maybe you haven't ever noticed this. But if you talk about spiritual gifts, everybody's going to turn you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and Romans chapter 12, right? Those are the main chapters, Ephesians chapter 4. But those are the main chapters. Did you ever notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 chapter 14, talk about specifically about spiritual gifts. What's the chapter in the middle? Don't say 13, I know the number. Somebody be like, well, it'll be 13, you big dummy. No, what is it? What do we typically think of that chapter? The love chapter, the Bible word charity. I like the word charity a little better. I don't think you ought to translate that. Charity, to me, is love in action. Love that saw a need and filled it. That's what charity is, right? So, if you don't use your gifts, in other words, if I have the gift of knowledge, I have a special God-given ability to understand deeper truths of the Scripture and explain those to you, there's certain ways I can do that. I can do that in a very helpful way, like I'm trying to do tonight, or I can say, now, I know you people don't understand as deeply as I do, but I'm going to try to help you poor folks. I want you to come along and see if you can catch up with my mental acuity when it comes to the truth of the Scriptures. Okay? So tonight, just, if you can't understand, you know, I'll understand that you don't have the gifts that I do, but it's okay. Do you know that nobody's going to listen to that? At least they won't listen for long, right? And it's not going to be effective. Whatever your gift, you can be very helpful, but if you're helpful in a I have to kind of way, please go home. I don't need people to go, well, nobody else stayed to help. Well, I'll help. Just, what do you want me to do? Please go home. Go away. I don't need you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Love. Somebody said this, well, I don't remember who I read this from yesterday, but it said, one writer said, love, when used with spiritual gifts, is like oil in the machine. Isn't that true? That's exactly what. And if we're going to be the church that we want to be, not only are you going to have to use those gifts, I don't want anybody walking in here and say, you know, okay, Brother Moore's preaching, it's true. Maybe I've got a couple of gifts I'm not using, so fine, I'll put them into practice. No, thank you. Don't do that. You do that because you see the great need and your heart is burdened for that and you want to become involved in that. That's the people we need. That's the kind of people who will build a great church in Hendricks County. Amen? For the glory of God, not the glory of self. Okay, so let me move on here. Number eight. It is possible, I believe it is also possible, and I think this is happening in a lot of people in our church, it is possible to neglect a spiritual gift. In fact, that's what Paul warned Timothy not to do. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, neglect not the gift that is within thee. So what does that mean? Well, neglect just means don't fail to take care of it. Now, I say that because if you combine that with what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that is in you. And I'm not a great big Hebrew or Greek scholar, but I looked that up in the Greek, and it literally means don't fan the flames, you know, stir up the gift, fan the flames of the gift. In other words, here's what I believe. As you use that gift, it gets better. It gets stronger. The Holy Spirit shows you how that gift can be used in a greater way. I know in my own life, the more I have to teach and preach, the better, the smoother it is that I teach and preach. It may not be the quality of lesson, but at least in anything, it's the delivery, right? You ever not spoke for a long time and then you have to speak and you can't get your stuff together, you know? But the more I use it, the more you can do it. In fact, I believe if you go back to Matthew chapter 25, I take this from that chapter, I believe there is a concept with spiritual gifts that it's a use it or lose it kind of deal. I really believe that. I really believe that there are people who have spiritual gifts who haven't used them in so long, they're dormant. I don't even know if they could ever use them again. That's a sad thing. Don't neglect. If you've got a gift, don't neglect that. I made fun a while ago of Pastor Monty, but I'll tell you something. I'm glad he has all that. I'm glad he gets up and sings. I'm glad he plays the piano, and I'm glad he, you know, can do all. I mean, you know, when Brother Smith came a couple years ago for the revival, how many of you were surprised when he got the, what do you call that thing? Accordion. And he started playing the accordion. Of course he can play the accordion. I understand, by the way, I think he plays the trumpet too, doesn't he? Of course he does. But the point is, he's using the gifts God's given him. Amen? He's teaching at a camp meeting right now. He teaches at a college, two colleges. He teaches young men theology from the Scripture. That's a wonderful thing. He's taking the gifts that God has given him and putting them into practice. And that's all I'm saying to you tonight. You can look at that list and you'll recognize yourself. All right, here, let me give you the next thing, by the way. I don't think, this is me personally, I don't think there's a magic formula, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble now, but or a spiritual gifts test that can accurately tell you what gifts of the Spirit you possess. How many of you have ever heard of a spiritual gifts test? Don't put your hand up on the next one. I wonder how many of you have taken one. I have. And I was surprised. I'm like, I didn't even know I could do that. I guess I should do. I don't know how accurate that is. And I'm gonna make some people mad. I don't know how accurate it is because I don't know how accurate my answers are about myself. Sometimes I will say this. I do not know myself as well as that little redheaded young lady over there knows me. She seems to know stuff that I don't know sometimes. And so when I'm filling out a spiritual gifts test, the answers are what I think. That sometimes I answer what I think should be the answer, not what actually is the answer. And so I think that sometimes skews it. You say, well, what's the test? You got another blank there, right? Right, one more blank? Life itself is the best test to determine what spiritual gifts or gifts you've been given. Experience. Get busy. Well, I don't know what I can do. Do something. Get involved. You may find out you're a tremendous teacher. You may find out that you understand the scripture better than anybody around you. You say, well, I thought everybody understood it that way. No. God may be gifted you with that ability. You may find out that you are one of the most practical. You can take the truths of God's word and turn them into such practical wisdom. By the way, wisdom is a gift. And turn them into such practical wisdom that people go, wow, I didn't see that before. Thank you. But you won't do that unless you try. So you get the idea. So you're going to use them. If you really, by the way, let me say this. If you really want an accurate assessment of the gifts, don't ask yourself. Ask your spouse. Ask your children. Ask somebody who knows you what you think my spiritual gifts are. You might be surprised the answer. If they say none, they're lying. That's not true. That just means you may have some you're not using. I think I could do that. I think I could say this, okay? Let me say this. Because, like I said, I've been around here about 14 years. I forget how long now, but long time. I would say, and I think I can say this accurately, Pastor Monty has the gift of leadership, definitely the gift of prophecy, definitely the gift of teaching, the gift of knowledge. Anybody would disagree with that? You say, how do I know that? I've listened to him. I've watched him. I've worked with him every day. And I see that in him. He didn't have to take a test. I'll tell him. Those are gifts you definitely have. Amen? I think Pastor Wall has the gift of administration. In fact, that's literally what he does. The stuff Pastor doesn't want to do. The detailed stuff, you know. All the little things that, you know, wear people out. He likes that stuff. He gets lost in the details. He wants to look at the plans. And he wants to see where the pipes are. And he wants to see how the landscaping's laid out. I just want to see that there is landscaping. Am I going to have a parking space? Is that all I want to know? He wants to know how big are the parking spaces, how many cars will fit in the parking spaces. Are they bigger than the parking spaces on our east side? I mean, our west side? They better be. You can't park a truck in one of those things. Okay? So he needs, and he's good at that. I'd say he's got that gift. Pastor Ogden, I think I would easily say he's got the gift of exhortation. By the way, I believe the music ministry falls under that list. Exhortation and somewhat evangelism. Okay? He gets up here. I am not a song leader, not only because I can't sing, but I can't get so excited and let's go. That's just not me. I can't. It's not going to. If I did it, you'd all go, what in the world is wrong with him? Right? That's not my gift. But I can easily see that gift in him. Can you? You see that in your husband? Of course. Why would you disagree now? Hush. Okay. So you get the idea. Let me ask you a question. How many would say this? Pastor Fielder, think about it. Mercy. You ever hear Pastor Fielder talk about the ministry he's in? How many of you have ever seen the man cry? Maybe I should do it this way. How many have never seen the man cry? Probably less. I mean, his heart is so brokenhearted for people who do not have. And when he talks about it, you can feel the passion in his voice. I think Scotty has a gift of teaching. I've heard him with the teenagers. Simple, right to the point, practical. If they don't get it, they're not listening. And sometimes that's what it is. They're not listening. So what I'm saying is this. Some of you are looking like, well, what are yours? You tell me. I don't know. I've got my own. But I don't try to figure out what I've got. I just do what I do. And those gifts, I think, will be evident. Right? I don't think I need to take a test. I don't think I need to go down that paper on the back of your paper and say, what is my name? I think it should be evident. And if I'm serving, if I've found a place to serve, if I'm working in the church in some form or another, it'll be pretty evident. How many of you know people in this church? Don't say names. How many know people in this church that have the gift of helps? Yeah, they're always there. They always get involved. They're always going to be, okay. There are people in this church that we're building that new church because they have the gift of giving. They see a need, and God's blessed them abundantly, and they give. Some people give out of not their abundance, but even out of their want. Those are givers too. And we're glad we have them, amen? Some of them give their time, some give their energy, some of them give their money. But there are people who are blessed with that gift. If there's a need, they're going to find a way to get what's needed and give it. That's a wonderful thing. So that's what I'm talking about. So you can figure out, don't worry about spirit. You can go online and find all kinds of spiritual gifts tests. Go ahead. Somebody's going to do it anyway. But I don't think that's how it works. I think what you do is you start working. And you'll find some things you're really good at and some things not so good at. And if you're doing it with the right heart and right spirit, even the things you're not good at, you'll probably be okay. So three main reasons we get the gifts. I'm done. Okay? Three main reasons. Number 10. The three main reasons God gives believers this gift. Number one, or A, I think on my notes. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to profit withal. I like that. Spiritual gifts are given not for the benefit. Listen to this. Spiritual gifts are not given for the benefit of those that have them. If you've got a gift, it's given for somebody else. And you know what? Sometimes you won't benefit from giving it. Sometimes it's going to be a burden for you. Oh, they want me to do it again. You know why? Because God's given you that gift and you ought to use it. It's not for your profit. It's for the profit of the church. B, 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That simple, I think you know what schism is, a split or a division. By the way, I just thought of this. Acts chapter 6. You know what happens in the first part of Acts chapter 6? Remember the apostles could not minister well to the people, and the widows were being neglected. You remember the story now? Okay. And they were having a little bit of problem. The church was splitting a little bit. Why? Because they couldn't do everything. That's where deacons come in, right? Guess what? So they needed help. They needed other spiritual gifts to meet the need. You know what will keep our church from splitting? If everybody's putting in their 2 cents worth, everybody's got their gift in order, I'll tell you what, that's a unified church that's doing something for the glory of God. I've often wondered if I've ever been in a church like that, where everybody, even 80%, 80% of the people are using their gifts. Wouldn't that be, could you imagine? I say this, let's not imagine it. Let's do it. Let's be that church. Why can't we? I don't understand why we can't. Here's the last thing. 1 Corinthians 14:12. To the edifying of the church. And the building of the church. The encouragement of the church. The thing that teaches people what they need to do. I'll say this and I'll close. Faith Baptist Church will not be what it's supposed to be if you're not using your gifts in the way that you're supposed to be using them. It's just that simple. This church will never be what it's supposed to be until the people in this church are using their spiritual gifts in the way that they're supposed to. When that happens, you better be glad we got more property out there. Because 800 seats won't be enough. Amen? Lord, I just pray that you'll help us as a church to follow these simple rules and truths. Lord, I sincerely believe what I'm saying tonight, that there's everybody in this church has a spiritual gift. Lord, I pray that not only you just help them discover it, I pray that you'll help them to use it. Oh, what this church could be, what we could do for the glory of God if we just get to work. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.